Welcome back to Arts About.
The show about art, and it's how do you say it again? I've forgotten that one.
Oh my goodness. It's a show about art that's a work of art
that's
in itself.
That's correct, yes.
Come back, John. Yes. Okay, welcome to another late Sunday morning with me, Sally Bailiw, and the provocative and forgetful Mark Stewart. John Baird is, of course, still AWOL. Our technical producer, Brodie Guzet, is smoothing the way, as he always does. Arts About is brought to you by the generosity of the McClellan Sculpture Park and Gallery and facilitated by the Bendigo Bank Studio. So, Mark, what are you going to bring us this week?
I'm going to bore you all with a little history of North Korea.
Oh.
The Hermit Kingdom.
Oh, I don't think that's boring.
Yes, it could be. I'm going to spice it up.
Are you planning to bore us?
Well, I'm going to try.
Fantastic. All right. This week we're going to be talking with Susan McCulloch from Whistlewood. She's coming in to announce the Spring Salon at Whistlewood this weekend that is running through until November the 12th. We're also going to be talking to Neri Johansson and landscape painter Karen Hopkins, who have a joint exhibition at the Hawthorne Gallery, and they're going to talk to us about that and their similarities and differences as landscape painters. We've also got another performer from The Fringe, Willem Richards. He's going to talk to us a little bit about his show, Full Metal Jacket and Other Impractical Fashions. And it's a very busy show this week, actually, because we've also got Janelle De Silva, actor, director, performance artist and artist model, about two shows that she's doing at Fringe. One is called Revolution. Thank you, because I'm going to get her to teach me to say that, which is a series of erotic bedtime stories for adults, which I think you went to this week, didn't you, Mark?
I did, yes. I'm going to speak briefly about that as well.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. And she's also in a one-woman show called Frankganistan, which is a piece, she's performing in herself, which is suburban storytelling where she weaves prose, performance art, burlesque, poetry and sausages, and based in our very own Frankston. So that sounds pretty fun. So while we get our first guest, Susan McCulloch, in here, here's the London-based band Little Barry, who sound a little bit like Cream or Traffic, with this track called Why Don't You Do It? It's from their album called Stand Your Ground. The fabulous McCullochs are presenting another show at Whistlewood this springtime, and this one is heralding the very tantalising oncoming spring. It's called From Nature, and it opened yesterday with one of their celebrated salon showings. But the exhibition runs until November the 12th at their Tux Road Gallery, Whistlewood. And titled From Nature, the exhibition combines a collection of work that they've discovered during their adventures around the interior of the country, investigating the connection between art and nature. Susan McCulloch joins us this morning in the studio to tell us a little bit more about it. Good morning, Susan. Welcome to Arts About again.
Thank you, Sally. Always gorgeous to be here.
Yeah, well, it's terrific to have you in here. I have to say, before we begin, that in fact we were just talking about it off air, we're all desperately waiting for spring, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. Well, as we've just discussed, I'm timed it very well by going away for just about a month, and then before that for a couple of weeks up to different parts, Queensland and so forth, but a month in the Kimberley, and it does wonders for a peninsular winter, and then come back and it's almost spring.
Good timing. There's a lot of hope in that, isn't there? So tell us, where's your track taken you this time?
Well, this year we usually go to Darwin and sometimes to Alice Springs for the Darwin Aboriginal Art events in August, which we did this time. Before that, I'd actually been up to far north Queensland, to Cairns, and went to the Cairns Indigenous Art Fair and a few places around there, the rainforest area. So kind of became more reacquainted with a lot of far north Queensland art, which is really vibrant. So we've come back with artists from Lockhart River, Rosella Namok and Samantha Hobson and Fiona Omenyo, who are the kind of young stars of Lockhart River Arts, which is way up in Cape York. So that's really exciting. And they've called themselves contemporary Australian artists for years. They started when they were about 17 as young things, learning art for the first time, and they're still only in their early 30s. So they've become really big. In the interim, they've become really very big art stars. And their work is distinctly different from anything else. They're Indigenous people, so that it has a sense of their indigeneity and their connection to place. But it's in very different materials, very bright, sort of shiny paint. A lot of it is, they like a kind of a very glossy look to their art. And beautiful, Rosella paints the sea and the rain falling over the sea, as well as water holes and moons and so forth. And Samantha is a pretty, very interesting young artist who often deals with social issues in her art, such as domestic violence and things like fires and the bushfires and so forth. So she's kind of very varied.
Are they all painters?
They're all painters, yes. They do, some of them. Fiona, who does kind of spirit figures in her paintings, she also does a few sculptures, but mainly painters.
Because I have actually, that I have got bought from you at one of the Woodley art fairs, these beautiful little clay dolls from Cardwell, which is a bit further south of Cairns, actually, I think, isn't it?
Yes, the Girringan, the people. We've got one of those.
Have you? Left. Oh, I love those.
They're fabulous. They're the fire maker figures are called Bagu. And they've become, the reason we've only got one is because they've become huge hit overseas. They've been participating in an exhibition in Monaco, which is going on about the connection with the ocean and people's connection with the coastal areas and the ocean. And they sort of can't produce enough of the bagu at the moment without compromising the quality.
That's a great thing. Yeah. So from Cairns, where did you head then?
Then from Darwin, we drove. I went with my daughter Emily, who's my
another
partner.
Friend of the show, of course.
Yes, and co-curator. And we're also researching. We went on a sort of research trip for our writing that we do. We're working on updating our book, Contemporary Aboriginal Art, which will be in a couple of years. It's a long process. So Emily hadn't been out to any of the Kimberley art centres. And I used to go out there a lot in the 1990s and early 2000s and hadn't been back for a long time too. So it was great. We drove from Darwin to Kununurra, and then we went to the wonderful Warringarry Arts in Kununurra, then to the Warman Arts Centre, which is near Turkey Creek, near the Bungle Bungles, and then off out to down the Tanami to Balgo, which is a pretty remote community and has been historically a really significant art movement. Very colourful art. A lot of the East Kimberley art is ochres and in browns, blacks, made from the earth and by Rover Thomas's paintings and others who were some of the founding artists. And the Warman Art Centre, which was there, their home, that had a flood a few years ago, and tragically a lot of their collection was lost. A lot of it has been restored by Melbourne University Conservation Department.
Oh, really?
And they've built this brilliant new art centre there. So they, it's a wonderful sort of story of revival, really, and a lot of younger generation artists. So we have some works from there. We have some from the Warringarry artists in Kununurra, and we have some from Balgor.
And did you go down to Broome?
In Broome, and there was a new art centre along the way at Halls Creek called Yayil Art Centre. And it's wonderful to see this new art centre too. It's a very, Halls Creek has expanded about five times since I was last there. And this new art centre is doing some really exciting things. So we've got some works from there too.
You would have come past then. It was at the Moanjum Centre?
Oh, yes, went to Moanjum too, Derby. Yes, which is a wonderful variety of different styles. It's such a huge country too, of course, and we weren't hurrying. We did a bit of trekking around.
How could you when you were out there?
Yes, well, you don't want to, the distances are so
large. I was going to ask you about that. What's that drive from Darwin down to Broome? Roughly how many kilometres?
We did about close to over 3,000 kilometres by the time we'd wandered off down to Balgo and around and did some trips out to Lake Gregory, called Baraku, which is the most beautiful wetland and huge bird sanctuary, and Emily Emily was just saying the other day that it feels like such an ancient place. You can really feel that sense of timelessness in places like that. And the great, you can feel the spiritual power in it too.
And I think your place in the cosmos in a way too, in those with those incredible skies and just the sort of the fierceness and beauty of the landscape around you.
Yes,
a contrast into this tiny little thing that you are in the middle of it all.
And there's a wonderful mapping project that's involving, we dropped in on a little community called Mullen Community and to find an artist, a non-Indigenous artist called Kim Mahood, who's a writer and an artist, and she's her book that she's had several books about her experience of growing up on the Tanami. In one of the stations on the Tanami, and she released a book this year called Position, or last year, late last year, called Position Doubtful, and she and I have done several in conversations about that, and part of her work is working with the Indigenous leaders and owners of the area to map that whole lake, and it's a big, huge project that involves scientists and scientists and anthropologists and traditional owners. So it was wonderful to have that little experience too.
Well, no end to material to be looking at and hearing about at your exhibition. And for those of our listeners that are also our Facebook friends, you will have had notice of this perhaps a little bit earlier and managed to perhaps get along to the curator's talk that was yesterday, which opened the exhibition called From Nature. Remind us how long it runs until, Susan?
It goes till November the 12th, so we're open every weekend, Saturdays, Sundays and public holidays. And yeah, it's a usual big variety of things. We also have a couple of non-Indigenous artists who we work with as well, some new works from them too, all so with the sort of theme of, you know, great strong connection to nature through either materials or subject matter. Yes, Mark?
Hello, Susan. I just have one question. Apparently, Aboriginals don't have a word for art.
That's true.
Do they have anything else? What word do they use?
No, the word for it, it's interesting because art is not... As Aboriginal people don't regard art as a separate entity as we do, art to them is their stories and their culture. So usually there are lots of words that mean the connection to culture and to the rather misused word dreaming or the dream time. It varies from place to place. So the word Jukapa, for example, which is the words in the Pitjantjatjara land, that's a very well-known word. That means the representations of culture through whatever means.
Okay, so it's more about history.
It's history and we similarly...
And tradition and culture.
We similarly don't have a word that means that. So it's kind of a real juxtaposition of cultures that art is not a separate entity for Aboriginal people. Art is a part of what they do, their expression of themselves, their culture, where they sit in the universe, and that happens in either ceremonial form or in preparations for ceremony such as body painting and telling stories in the sand as a way of relating the dreamtime stories, the dreaming stories.
I remember hearing a Victorian Aboriginal saying that in the day before, in the past, they'd work maybe 2 hours a day just to get food, and the rest of the time they had to for themselves. So it was a question of you fill it in with art, basically. It was you weren't working every day, so you were actually able to create more.
Yes.
Well, as always, it will be an incredibly illuminating experience to go along to Whistlewood. If you're lucky enough to have heard the curator's talk, there's another window into the most amazing collection of art that you keep down there or that you keep bringing into Whistlewood, Susan. From Nature is on at the Whistlewood Galleries in Tux Road from now all the way through to November the 12th. Thanks so much for talking to us today about it, Susan, and thanks for coming on to Arts About.
Thank you, Sally and Mark, and everybody in Arts About.
Next up, we have Naira Johansson and Karen Hopkins joining us in the studio. These two landscape painters are sharing the exhibition space at Hawthorne Studio Gallery to present two exhibitions, Sightlines by Naira and Changing Seasons by Karen. Both artists describe their work as landscapes, but their approach to the same subject create very different results. It's their first time exhibiting together, and apparently they've only just recently met each other, quite recently. So we're going to find out what else links them this morning. So welcome to the show, Nari Johansson and Karen Hopkins.
Thanks, Sally.
Thank you.
Welcome to Arts About. So how did you two, seeing as you've only just recently met, how did you actually get this project together, Nari?
I don't think we did it ourselves. The gallery we're showing at is run by Angela Foote and her husband, Graham, who's a sculptor. And she just decided recently to bring some new artists in, and it just happens that Karen and I had submitted work to her and she decided to show us both together.
Right.
So, and as soon as we met for the first time, we not only realised that we were sharing a show, but we seemed to share other things as well. So it's become a joint venture, whereas originally it was two solo shows.
Yes. So you're both landscape painters, but you are very different. And it looks to me as if your motivations for painting are also very different. Karen, tell us a little bit about yourself, because we haven't met you before and don't know. You're a Melbourne painter.
Yes, I'm from England originally. I've been living in Melbourne for 6 years and I was in Perth for 12. Since probably developed my art over the last 20 years, I've travelled around the world a little bit. Since living in Australia, I'm really inspired by the landscape. And a lot of my painting, I think, is really about our connection with it and how nature can be healing and how we're all interconnected to it.
As a European, you must have been very struck also by the light.
Definitely.
In this country, because it's so profoundly different, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. And the colours. Especially when I lived in West Australia and the outback, trips to the outback. And around here, the ocean and the forests. And really, I find nature really inspiring.
Was it love that brought you here?
I came here with my ex-husband through his work. And
fell in love with the country. Wonderful. Nari, it seems to me almost that you're as interested in the way you see things as much as you are what it is that you see. What's that process? What's going on for you?
It's a mixture of things, because a lot of my artwork is more spontaneous, but I almost hesitate to say that these come more out of an intellectual perception about the nature of existence, I suppose. So I'm quite fascinated. I'm a bit of an amateur scientist in that I'm...
Well, I was going to ask you.
Fascinated by relativity and space-time, and it sounds... I'm almost afraid to mention it because it sounds a little bit pretentious, but actually I do understand all those processes. And the actual way that I paint happened by accident once in a fit of pique. I just started putting lines on the canvas and then started filling it in, and it developed into the style I use now. But if you look closely at the actual canvases, you'll see there are a lot of areas just in indigo with blue dots on. So symbolically to me, that represents the universal. Uh-huh. And then you'll often see arrows and triangles, which come from a philosophy by a Japanese Buddhist priest, 16th century Japanese Buddhist priest, who did a famous painting in Kyoto, which is in Kyoto Art Museum apparently, of a circle, a triangle and a square, which he called the universe, or it's translated as the universe. And the circle represents the universe, the square represents physical matter, and the triangle represents energy or electricity or whatever that thing is that we can't quite understand. So there's a whole lot of things that went into the building up of those images that I have, some symbolic, some more philosophical or social, or mm-hmm. It's a mixture of things. So the landscape for me is bigger than just the physical landscape. It's actually the landscape of life, if you like.
Now, I know that you're a painter now, but you used to be, well, you probably still are, of course, a musician and a composer. Isn't that
right? Yes. Well, I that's quite a long time ago. But yes, but yes, I did. I've written quite a bit of music for ensembles and orchestra, and but that's sort of almost a past life now.
Yes,
the
but
painting's
but,
the passion.
I know, but the musical life, I think, attests a little bit to the mathematical brain, doesn't it?
Yes, I think that's true. I think yes, it is a similar process, probably, in my head.
So tell us a little bit about the collections in this exhibition, because you've both got the collection of work in this exhibition, each of you have under a different title. So Karen, you've got Changing Seasons, and Nairi is Sightlines. Tell me what encapsulates each exhibition. Karen, can you tell us what...
Well, I suppose the essence of my work in this exhibition is really about change and the impermanence of life, and really using landscapes as a metaphor for the sort of changes that we go through as human beings, how we have different seasons in our life. Sometimes we go into hibernation and then we're getting ready for new growth, and sometimes we have to let go of things, and then we sow seeds for new things. So there's kind of parallels there. A lot of work around the different seasons, and just zooming in on sort of forest scenes and seascapes, and a few sculptures as well, mixed media sculptures accompanying the exhibition, and bit of poetry.
You're both ceramicists, actually, aren't you?
I've done a bit. It's more just a bit of a hobby, but it is lovely getting your hands in clay. Mm. And I have thought about doing clay sculpture, which is something I might get into when this exhibition is over. We may
something
even have a sculpture exhibition together later on. That'd be interesting.
Well, that's great. So the gallery, where's the gallery?
In Hawthorne, on Burwood Road.
Just round from, we have to look at, we have to remember
635 Burwood Road.
Thank you, Mark.
Close to Auburn Road, yes. Yes.
What are the dates for it?
Okay, so we've got the 27th of September to the 7th of October. The opening is on Wednesday, the 27th, that's
yep, which is in a couple of days. Yes, fantastic.
Which is next week, Tuesday week, Wednesday week.
Well, not exactly, because we're actually going to air.
Oh,
anyway,
I see. Okay. And we're giving an artist talk on Saturday, the 7th of October, so that should be... I hope people will come to that.
Fabulous. Well, what I'll do, I'll put a link on our Facebook page and I'll link through to you, and with all the dates and times and that kind of thing, and you can spread that out. Spread the word. Wonderful to talk to you today. It looks like a great two exhibitions, I guess I should say. Mm-hmm. Look forward to seeing it myself. Thanks for coming in today to Arts About, Karen Hopkins and Nairi Johansson.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Thank you, Sally. Thanks very much.